Okay, today we come to the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're looking at the future tribulation period. John is seeing this in the form of a vision. He is in heaven. He has seen several judgments that God will send on the earth in the final days. And actually, he saw a scroll. The scroll contained the information about the end of the world, the final days, and it was sealed with seven seals. And every time a seal is removed, John sees another judgment against the world from God. Six of the seals have been removed, I should say. The seventh seal is what we will look at today. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. This silence is actually the calm before the storm. Everyone in heaven knows that God has been judging the earth, that God has been punishing sinners. And so now everyone knows also that God is about to do something big. And so they are silent. No one says a word. No one makes any noise. The praise, the prayers, the singing have all stopped. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven angels with seven trumpets means that something big is about to happen. Whenever a trumpet is blasted in Scripture, it's to announce something big. And so you know something big is cooking when you've got seven angels with seven trumpets. These trumpets will announce the wrath of God on sinners. The day of his patience is over. It is the great tribulation period. It is the days preceding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. Verse 3. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And so, prayers are coming up before God the Father at this point. God's people on earth at this point are very desperate. Evil is running rampant. Persecution is commonplace. No one cares about truth. No one cares about God. Consequently, God's people begin to pray. No doubt they are praying for justice. They are praying for deliverance from all the persecution. They are praying for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. They are praying. And their prayers are pleasing to God. And we know that's the case because the angel mixes incense with the prayers of God's saints and presents them to the Lord. And there's great symbolism in incense. The incense symbolizes the fact that God was pleased that his people prayed and that he will hear and answer those prayers. Verse 4. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hands. They went up before God. The prayers were received by God. Bad people have done enough bad, and the innocent have suffered long enough. As a result, God is receiving these prayers, and the trumpet blasts that we will see will announce the answers to these prayers. Let's see how God answers. Look at verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Boy, when you pray, and God's immediate response is to throw blazing fire onto the earth, you know you've gotten through. And they've gotten through. And God is answering. He's saying, my people, I have heard you, and I am ready to act on your behalf. And here we go. Verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. In Scripture, the trumpet was used to announce war. These angels raise their trumpets and they prepare to blast them. This is God declaring war on sinful man. Actually, man started this war back in the Garden of Eden when he decided that he was going to rebel against the authority of God. And man has continued this war against God ever since. So this isn't God starting this war. Man started it. God is about to finish it. He's blowing the trumpets. This is going to put an end to this war. 7. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burnt up. A third of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And this is just the beginning. This is just the first trumpet. By the way, I don't know if I said this or not, but the seventh seal that was removed, within that seventh seal are contained seven trumpet judgments. The trumpet's going to blast seven times, and with each one, there's going to be a judgment from God. And this is just number one. This is just the beginning. Hail, fire, and blood are thrown onto the earth. One third of the earth is set on fire. This is punishment from God. This is the final tribulation period. These are the days before Jesus returns. It is punishment from God, but it is only partial punishment. Notice the one third. It's only one third. The purpose of this first judgment was to prove that God is sick and tired of man's rebellion and that he means business about punishing it. But it was also designed to be a warning that the wicked are running out of time. 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Again, God takes out one third. This time it's one third of everything in the seas, and it includes one third of the sea actually turning into blood. One third of all marine life dies. One third of shipping is destroyed. This is a precision strike by God. It is the great tribulation period before Jesus returns. And it is a precision strike by God. I mean, he could have destroyed everything. Instead, he measured this judgment because he wanted it to hurt, but not totally annihilate. He could have wiped out the whole world, but it wasn't time for that. It is a partial judgment because its purpose is to warn and its purpose is to lead people to repentance before it is too late. God is telling the world, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. You are not big enough to fight against me and win. Look at what I am doing here. 10. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers, and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Trumpet judgment number 3 hits, and one third of the world's fresh water supply is destroyed. God is pressing in on sinful man. He's applying the pressure more and more. You know, that second trumpet judgment killed one third of marine life, but this one kills many people. And it is a terrible punishment, but it is still only a partial punishment. God is giving the world time to repent. Even at this late stage, he is giving the world time to repent. But at the same time, he is making it clear that he means business about punishing sinners. 12. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. Trumpet blast number 4. And the entire cosmos, the entire universe, goes crazy. And I think God is really sending a signal here to sinful mankind, because for centuries, sinful man has worshipped the sun, the moon, the planets, the stars, in one form or another. He has worshipped them, he has looked to them for guidance instead of looking to God, and we still see it today in the astrology. And then, in recent years, science itself has become a god to some people. Many people look to science for answers instead of to God. Well, with this fourth trumpet blast, the scientific norms are gone. And the god of science, so-called, is discredited because scientists don't know what to do. They can't figure this out. So far, God has sent his judgment upon the earth, the seas, the water, the food supply, and now the universe. He wants everyone to know that he is the creator of all things, and he is also capable of uncreating all things as well. 13. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." If the world thinks it's been bad so far, and it has been, but if they think this is bad, they haven't seen anything yet. Yeah, the first four trumpet judgments have been bad, but they have only partially destroyed nature. The last three judgments will unleash demonic forces to do what they love doing: attack and destroy man who has been created in God's image. This is really going to get ugly. And it begins in chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. Now, a star that falls, there's something wrong here. You know, it's not normal. A star should not fall. They are meant to stay in the sky. So when God talks about a falling star here, it's pointing to something wrong. It's pointing to something bad. And the bad is the rebellion of Lucifer and the angels who followed him and became demons. Look at verse 1 again. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. And the star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And obviously, this is not a literal star. The language here is clearly symbolic. The star is not literal. The key is not literal. But it all points to something very real. This star is a supernatural being. It is a creature. It is either Lucifer or one of his top demons, I should say. And he has a key that opens the door of the abyss. And the abyss is a bottomless pit. Verse 2, when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it, like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And so God gives this supernatural creature permission to destroy. And he opens the key, or he opens the door to this bottomless pit. This bottomless pit represents the dwelling place of demons. When it is opened, trouble immediately begins. A thick cloud of hellish smoke is released from the pit. The cork of this terrible place is popped, and evil, like this world has never seen, escapes. 3. And out of the smoke locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. And these strange locusts are symbolic of demons. Locusts travel in huge swarms and they destroy everything they see. These demons evidently will travel in swarms, but one thing's for sure, they will destroy. And they're compared to scorpions as well. Scorpions have poison in their tails, which they use to inflict a very painful sting. These demons will be God's instruments, inflicting pain on sinful people who refuse to repent. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ and behave like demons will now suffer at the hands of demons. God will use them to do what they do best, and that's inflict pain and sorrow. 4. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. These demons are on a mission from God, and He has them on a leash. They can't kill wicked sinners, as we will see, but they can hurt. They can hurt the wicked sinners who have refused to repent. And they will. These people gladly followed the temptation of demons, so now they will be tormented by demons. They are getting what their sins deserve. 15. It says, not 15, 5. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Demons love to cause pain. And so God is allowing these demons to do what they do best, cause pain. And of course, demons are just mean. They are cruel and they are wicked. They inflict pain because they love to inflict pain. They don't need any other reason. God is allowing them to inflict pain in an attempt to get sinners to repent. He has a purpose. And God tells them, you can hurt. You can hurt bad. But you cannot kill. And from this we see an example of what Scripture says about God. The Bible says that in wrath, God remembers mercy. And He is definitely pouring out His wrath. But He is also attempting to be merciful as well. Because He could have killed all these people immediately, and He could have sent them all to hell. But instead, He allows them to suffer so that maybe they will wake up. And maybe they will repent. 6. During those days, men will seek death, but he will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The pain, this is the future tribulation period. These are the days before Jesus returns. This is God's punishment on sinful man. And the pain will be so horrible, the suffering so great, that these sinners will want to die. But Jesus, who holds the keys of death, will not allow it to happen. They won't be able to die. God is giving these wicked people a little taste of hell. Hell is a place of terrible pain for those who reject Christ. It is a place where one wishes they could cease to be, but it doesn't happen. These people are getting a little taste of what hell is going to be like for them. If they don't wake up and repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 8. Their hair, talking about these demons, their hair was like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. Again, this is symbolism here. I'm sorry, I missed chapter, or verse 7. It says, the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. They were prepared for battle. They're ready to fight. These demons are chomping at the bit, ready to go, ready to destroy. And they have human faces, which symbolizes the fact that they are intelligent. And so they are cruel, they are evil, they are ferocious, they are also clever. It's just a reminder that people are no match for the brute force and the deceiving ability of Satan and his demons. That's why you have to stick to the Word of God. You have to stick to Scripture. And you don't go by your feelings, and you don't go by what you see, and you don't go by what you think. And then now, verse 8. Their hair was like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. Symbolism. The lion's teeth show that these demons are ferocious and vicious and strong. I don't know what the long women's hair points to. Honestly, I don't. I can't get beyond those teeth. Because that tells me these demons are ready to go. And they are ferocious and they are ready to tear people to shreds if they are allowed to. Verse 9. They had breastplates, like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They are fast. And they are unstoppable. And their breastplates of iron show that no one can stop them. Science will not be able to figure out a way to stop the trouble that these demons will cause. There will be no answers. Because this is judgment from God. This is the future tribulation period. This is the days before Jesus returns, and God is punishing. Man must submit and suffer the wrath of God, and there aren't any answers. God will back sinful man into a corner because that is the only way some people will turn to him. 10. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. The sting of a scorpion is painful, and the outcome of these demonic attacks will be painful as well. But like I said earlier, God has them on a leash. Their power is limited by God's power. 11. They had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon. This army of demons has a king. His name is Apollyon. Apollyon means destroyer. He is either Satan, like I said, or one of Satan's top demons. But one thing is for sure, he's in charge of this demonic army. 12. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. This thing is far from over. As bad as all this demonic activity is, it's only the beginning. The sixth and the seventh trumpet judgments are the worst, and they are yet to come. 13. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. And so the apostle hears the sixth trumpet blast. And then he hears a voice coming from the throne of God. And what does the voice say? 14. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." These angels are bound. That tells me they can't be. I don't believe they're good angels. They're either fallen angels or demons, because God's angels do not have to be bound. God's angels don't have to be restrained by God, because they never do anything that God doesn't want them to do. Anyway, they are released, and notice what happens. 15. The four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Things are really heating up now. God releases these demons and they kill one third of all sinners who have refused to repent. Now, if you remember, last week, at the beginning of God's judgments, one fourth of the earth's population had been killed earlier. So apparently now, combined with this, you've got maybe two-thirds of the wicked are now dead. And where are they? In hell? In terrible torment? And it's only by the grace of God that all people are not dead and in hell. Because that's what sinners who reject Christ deserve. God is still restraining these demons to give mankind time to repent, even at this late point. 16. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, and I heard their number. This demonic army of 200 million is now released to carry out the wrath of God. And it is a demonic army. These are not soldiers. These are demons. 200 million demons released to carry out the wrath of God. And it was, and it's been bad so far, and as bad as it has been, the worst is yet to come. And we'll pick it up in verse 17 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.